Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. One of the only outlets covering what is just a jaw-dropping story. Well, just a series of jaw-dropping stories about MAID, medical assistance in dying in Canada, coming here and the really long overdue mission to stop it from coming here. Kelsey Sheeran is helping to lead that fight. You can find her on X at Kelsey Sheeran. That's K-E-L-S-I-S-H-E-R-E-N. She's also on Substack. Just search her name there. We're just looking up some of the stories in the break here. Canada may start euthanizing babies. That's the headline from lifenews.com. And like, it makes sense. So the people trying to push this here, they know that if you start with this, it's not going to fly. You can't start with, we're going to kill babies in the infirm. You have to start with, we're going to let grandma pass in the way that she wants. But obviously that's a strategy. And it's like offensive that they would state that that's their strategy, because they just know. They know what they're doing is evil. They know people wouldn't accept it. They know they have to boil them like a frog in water slowly over time until they have us in their grasp. It is so deceitful and subversive. It's evil.
Yeah,
in so many ways.
It's not a shock at this point, right? Because when the enemy shows you who they are, you have to believe them the first time. It's kind of like the same sort of, you know, idea around radical Islam and what we've seen now, right? I said this from overseas when I came home and people are like, well, you're awfully racist. I said, no, when the enemy shows you who you are, believe them the first time. You shouldn't have to keep learning. And so this is where we're at, right? So like I said to you before the break, when you have the trans ideology come up and get children, it's only natural we start now going top down and we meet in the middle at 12. And so it's not a coincidence that now we're talking about this. I mean, this has been discussed before, but it had been brought up again. That's Dying with Dignity's lovely children's book there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have brought it up before, where they said, you know, look, we are going to be naturally moving this in a direction where people are going to be wanting this. And I said, well, I don't think that's the truth. I don't think people want to euthanize their babies, but turns out no different than people wanting to transition their children. It's an ideology. It's a cult mindset. It's a, I want to be a part of that. And then you have things like Munchausen by proxy and really looking at how do people fit in. And from a society's perspective, I get it. Nobody wants to see a child suffer. But when you have the College of Physicians from Quebec stating this, that we should start having discussion around euthanizing children from 0 to 1. They're not talking about, you know, healthy children. They're actually saying, well, what if they're born with something like spinal bifida?
Right.
You know, their quality of life is going to be poor. But I'm sorry. I know plenty of individuals.
Go talk to Leela Hart.
This is my point. Who are you to tell a 6-month-old that they're going to have a terrible quality of life? Isn't healthcare supposed to continue to improve time over time? People who are paralyzed, don't we have hope with Neuralink? Do we not have hope with other different products and things and medical innovations? Should we be just so quick to say that we should be killing children? Because again, be clear on the language. We're not removing suffering. We're euthanizing people with a poison that is not studied for killing. And the last time it was during the eugenics movement. And it would just happen to be utilized during the World War II time.
And just like as against it as I am, you can at least argue that people over 18 that are of sound mind are making their own decision. And if they want to kill themselves, really, there's not a lot of ways for us to stop it.
But technically, but what do we understand about the prefrontal cortex and the frontal lobe in development in children?
Yep.
You do not have a fully developed frontal lobe until you're what, 25?
Well, right. And that's my point. And so, you know, anybody from 12 to 25 it's kind of debatable whether they're, you know, capable, especially, I mean, have you been in high school? Has anybody here been in high school and maybe been in a relationship perhaps? Like your emotions literally are as fluctuating as they'll ever will be. Your hormones are firing on all cylinders. We're being messed up from the poison in the food and water anyway. So we're sort of dysfunctional from the outset. But right, that was my point, was that as a baby, I mean, you cannot frame it as anything other than murder. You can't even make the argument that, well, you know, they did want to die and we're just, you know, helping them do it in a safe way. No, these are babies, you are literally just murdering them. The idea that they could consent isn't even reality. So it's just murder.
Well, it is. And so, and then there's the argument that people have with me. Well, if they have informed consent, again, what is informed consent when the doctors are being taught a protocol and program that Health Canada can't legally see, that our tax dollars have paid for, and we can't even see? It's a closed, tight network, meaning CanMap has a conference, which, by the way, if any of you would like to protest it, it's happening in Montreal the end of April. I can't go. I'm popping a baby out. But you could go. It's in Montreal. I talked about it on Redacted. I said to Clayton, I said, feel free to go. You have to be a doctor to attend, but you don't to be outside.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, this is where all of your doctors, the 2,200 doctors who are people who kill people, as part of their medical practice, are going to be discussing how to roll out and how to integrate this into society, how to speak about it, how to promote it, how to help people accept the idea as healthcare, we should be killing people. Yeah. And this is my argument. We are supposed to be the globe's gold standard of healthcare. So is it free will and actual choice if every other thing we do? So say, for example, I have terminal cancer, right? Well, you're more than likely going to die on a waiting list to see a doctor in Canada. 23,000 people die a year. That's not even including the people who leave the waiting rooms and die in the waiting rooms.
Oh my God.
Okay, so say I have terminal cancer and I need to see a doctor. Well, what if I can't see them in time and now it becomes, it goes from like stage four to fully terminal. Okay, now we're in this hallway here. Now, what if you tell me I can't get access to, say I want to have ivermectin. Say I want ivermectin instead of a standard, you know, whatever it is.
You want to try something experimental.
I want to do something a little different. And the answer is no. So, okay, so now I'm going down further down the path. Now they say, well, we can't get you hospice or palliative care because, well, we don't have enough beds and enough funding. Okay, so now I'm at the end and I'm in excruciating pain and I don't have another solution, all because I wasn't given actual healthcare, actual medical support. Is it then still free will and choice if that's the only solution they're giving you is death?
Right.
So this is where I'm trying to understand people's argument. They say, but I see in a world where Kelsey, and look, I get it. I see in a world where, why can't you have compassion? Nobody wants to have, you know, this whole conversation around grandma can't function, can't eat her, she can't open her eyes. I am the most empathetic towards it, and genuinely so, because the difference between me and the death community is that person raised you, looked after you, put all their money into you, all their time into you, and brought you into this world. Do you not owe it to them to do the same thing as they leave? When we have this program in Canada called the Special Access Program, which is one of the hardest in the world to get access to, but it's regulated psilocybin. I'm actually one of the recipients of that program for treatment-resistant depression.
Right.
Out of like 180 people, I was given it after thousands of dollars in lawyers and proving that I was treatment resistant. Health Canada's option to me was electroshock therapy. So before they would give me a mushroom. But what do we understand about end of life? We understand through Johns Hopkins and Harvard and all this amazing research done in America, because you're allowed to study it.
Yeah.
That regulated psilocybin in the right set and setting with your loved ones, with your family, with a pastor, with whomever you want, can be incredibly healing and helping you come to grips with what it means to be leaving this earth.
Yeah.
But we don't offer that. We can do MAIDS same day for track one. Within 24 hours, if you are a track one recipient and you get two MAID assessors, you can be killed same day. And we have over 200 patients that were killed that way in the Ontario Coroner Report.
How much do you think this is just purely a money thing where they just ran the numbers and they went, we provide, you know, end of life health care. Most of the money goes to the last 10 years of somebody's life. Yep. If we just kill them 10 years earlier, we save that much money. I mean, it's sickening to think that that's how these decisions are being made. It's obviously a contributing factor. How much do you think is this just the consequence of socialized medicine and money? At the end of the day.
Well, if we want to get dark and sinister, let's go there. So there was a research study done by Western University, these two guys, and they did a if situation. So I'm very clear, because it was when I talked about it on Jillian Michaels, it went super viral. And they're like, we were only doing an if situation. That wasn't real. And I was like, but the law's going that way. So is it if or more of a when?
Right.
And they broke down the amount of people they think over 2027 to 2047. So when made for mental illness, medical murder for mental illness up to 2047. And they ran the numbers based on the Indigenous people, the amount they would, the suicidal people, the mentally ill, the homeless, and then the elderly. And they came to a financial figure of $1.273 trillion.
Ooh.
So anything with a T in front of it, friend, or a B, makes me think there's a lot of incentive financially. Now, that's not even just, that's just with the government of Health Canada, if, again, I said if, they keep going, because this is where they, these groups come at me, if that is where we're going, which legislation looks as is, as if it is, if it does, and that is the amount of money, that's just what the government stands to save. And you know that Carney loves to give another 2.5, a few billion here, a few billion there to Ukraine and all of our weapon systems like we just did. Oh, and a $100 million grant to Indian students, but not white people.
Right.
So that's not even what the doctors are making. That's not even what the doctors are making.
Right. That's just saving on things that they're not supplying later.
Exactly. Yeah. And so in this, what you've, you're kind of looking at here, this citizen here, right? This is Canada saying, you know, in less than 10 years... less than 10 years, we're going to hit 100,000 deaths. That means your doctors in Canada have killed over 100,000 people. Do we understand that? Are we clear about that? That is not a few people. Like, do you remember during COVID when they shut stuff down, when they said 10,000 people have died from COVID? Well, Canada... we don't have the full figure for 2025 yet, but the most accurate figure we do have is 2024. That's 16,499. We're estimating over 17,000 for 2025. And again, in 2023, 4,528 track one deaths were same day. That means no family could step in.
That's crazy.
Nobody could set up palliative care. Nobody could set up hospice. Nobody could make a plan for grandma and grandpa. And that's 5% of the cases were same-day deaths in 2023 alone. So that means that 4,000 people applied in the morning and were dead by bedtime.
No waiting period. No consultation with the family. Although that can get kind of iffy, right? Because we've seen who's the angel of death woman?
Oh, Ellen Weeb.
Ellen Weeb.
She's who killed Keanu.
And she's the one who says, you know, well, the biggest hurdle to get over is often the family. Yes. They're not okay with it. So, like, literally you have families like, don't kill my family member. And she's like, oh, you're a barrier to get over.
Yes.
But then on the other hand, you have a story from not too long ago of a husband who basically murdered his wife with the doctor. And the wife didn't want to do maid.
Mrs. B.
But the husband said, well, I can't take care of you anymore, so... like Old Yeller behind the barn. I mean,
yeah.
So the families, you know, I guess it can go either way, but there's actually, I mean, can you tell us that story? What happened there?
Yeah, so I actually am writing about this one in the new book because Mrs. B's story is one of those warning signs for people. Dr. Ramona Coella, she's on the Ontario, she looks at the Ontario Coroner reports, but she's, you know, she's within the MAID Death Review Committee. Brilliant doctor. And she goes, there is a non-compliant list that we're looking at of over 400 people. Mrs. B was one of these ones, okay? Mrs. B had applied originally for MAID, but then made a decision that she no longer wanted it, okay? And instead of them saying, you know what, you're right, we get it, you've changed your mind, that's okay to make a different decision, she based it on her religion. She said, you know what, I've made a choice, I don't actually want to do this. Brilliant, love that for you, beautiful. And then what ended up happening is that she actually was mated the same day. They couldn't get her hospice in time. They couldn't get her palliative care because they've been defunding these places like the Delta Hospice. People have seen her talk about Angelina Ireland. They defunded her because she refused to do MAID at her facility.
Right. You talked about that last time.
Yeah, right. And so this is important because if we can't get a doctor's appointment, we can't get an orthodontist appointment, we can't get an eye doctor appointment, we can't even get into an ER same day.
Right.
Why is it that we're so quick to have access for these people to come in and assess her?
That's a great question.
And then kill her. And so she was killed same day, even though she revoked and pulled back her rights. So when people say, well, Quebec is doing this thing called advance requests, okay? So say one of us, you and I, know we have the genetic component for Alzheimer's. And we're like, you know what? I'm going to sign a document now, okay? I'm going to sign it now so that when I'm 70 and I'm really like gone and I can't make the decisions for myself, just, you know, put me out to pasture kind of vibe, right? Well, that happened in Europe, okay? So that happened to a lady in Europe. It's actually the very first story I wrote about in the book because it's so important. She had made the choice, did an advance request, and this is what Quebec is doing now, okay? And in that advance request, she said she wanted MAID. Well, she went to the doctor, and the doctor put a sedative in her coffee and didn't tell her. And then they started the procedure with the family around. Well, this grandmother actually came to consciously mid-procedure, and the doctor had the audacity and has been cleared, by the way, and said to the family, please hold her down while I finish. And the family held her down while they finished euthanizing her. So if you tell me that's not some form of murder, I don't know how I can have a very simple conversation with you about it. You know, right before I came here, you know, I made the mistake of engaging on Twitter. I made the mistake of engaging on Twitter. And I thought, well, Michael Malice is good at it. I wonder if I could be funny too. I can't. Turns out I'm not a funny person, in case you guys haven't noticed. And ironically, I'm sitting there and this person tags me in something and I started laughing and I was like, are you serious? It's the Toronto Raptors content creator.
Okay.
Just did a tweet about me calling me an idiot.
The like basketball team or
yeah, the NBA's Toronto Raptor content creator. It literally just went viral because it just got picked up. I didn't know this was going to happen, but he went at me saying that like I'm uneducated and that this is fine and that we should be able to do this and all these things. And I actually went back at him anyway. It just got picked up. It's going completely viral. But the point is you're going to have people in the country where you live that are, because they've been so manipulated and slow dripped and told by doctor after doctor after doctor that this is the right thing to do to grandma, that they, again, he's the younger one and he had older people use it. And so now he's arguing with me on Twitter, not knowing who I am.
And it's being normalized. Yeah.
And it's being normalized.
Yeah.
So it's like trans, we got it normalized. And then we finally caught up. Trump caught up and was like, hey, we're going to stop it. But now this is their blind spot. This is Trump's blind spot. And this is obviously Mark Carney's blind spot because he needs the money. We need the money to go give it to Ukraine. We need the money to give it to the Indian people. We need the money to give it everywhere else but Canadians. So when people say, Kelsey, this is not actually happening, this isn't as bad as you think, I'm just early.
Yeah.
And so I need people to wrap their brain around 1 in 20 people. So if there's 20 people in this building right now, which there definitely is, one of those people is going to die by MAID, statistically.
That is astonishing. Yeah, 5% of the deaths are from MAID. And once it gets implemented, it's so much more difficult to ever extricate. So we need people now in America, like at least one person from every state needs to raise their hand and go, I'll handle it for Nevada. I'll handle it for Ohio, where you just keep your eye on the legislation. And when anything with MAID comes up, you got to go talk to your state house, because I guarantee the representatives in there, they aren't like excited to kill people. You know, as corrupt as a lot of them are, they're human beings. And but if all they have is some very well put together professional, a doctor from Canada coming down and saying, look, this is how it's done, it's very simple and easy and wonderful and there's no problems, vote yes, and then leaves, you have to come in after and go, let me tell you what really happens once this is implemented. They only have the other side in their ears right now. We need to be the other people. You cannot
that's the guy right there.
Expect other people. Raptors Shaq.
I know. So I guess he's the content creator for the Toronto Raptors for the NBA. And I said, dude, this can't be good for you to be doing this. And then it got picked up by Urban Canada. It's getting picked up all over. And right before I came here, I went, oh no, the NBA is going to hate this.
That's wild. And okay, people say crap like this and still believe they're a good, okay, so you're a bad person.
I'm
for
a bad
this.
Person. And I'm also super incorrect.
It's one thing to be incorrect, another thing to be incorrect. Okay, so you're incorrect, cruel, and not a good person. Hold on, go back, guys. I want to read her tweet. We got to find out what makes her bad. So click on her tweet. You say, that person, if you understood the drugs, was paralyzed with lungs filled with fluid and drowned to death. Enjoy that reality.
I'm really harsh about it.
I mean, well, because it's a harsh thing. You're just describing what's actually happening.
I know, because I'm done. This is what happens when you change verbiage and you change language.
Yep.
And I'm done sugarcoating this. This is medical murder. This is giving up on your society. This is telling people they should quit and die. And then they should accept that killing grandma is the easy way out. We have the double blind. You can provide in hospice and palliative care a way so that patients are given a little more morphine and they slowly slip with their loved ones there. Why are we scheduling this like it is an elective breast surgery?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to come down on people making these decisions, but when people come to me and say, Grandpa looked peaceful, he was so still and so peaceful, I said, because they paralyzed you first.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing peaceful about a paralytic.
I mean, the whole thing is, here's another stat that's pretty interesting that goes along to the point I was about to make.
Yeah.
I had to euthanize my dog about a month ago. It was like the hardest thing ever. And obviously, it's all the more difficult because you can't communicate with them. But it's like, who are these people that are so cavalier about taking a human life? It was like torture to put down my dog, who clearly, you know, it was time, obviously, but it's like the fact that they care less about humans than dogs. And by the way, in 2021, nearly 10,000 Canadian people were euthanized. In 2021, a total of 9,842 Canadian people were euthanized. Only 2,000 shelter dogs in Canada were put down that year.
Yeah.
So five times as many human beings are euthanized in Canada as dogs, because there are no kill shelters. There are people that will...
Oh, there are. They're called Made House. There's one in Victoria and one in Toronto. All they do is kill people. There's also Shoreline.
Oh, well, that's the opposite.
Paul's Hospital.
Well, but, you know, dogs at least have people advocating for them saying, hey, we shouldn't euthanize dogs. Right. Where are the humans saying, let's not euthanize humans?
Well, and listen, so this was the argument. So I was really lucky. So Michael Malice called me and he goes, look, I think I need to talk about this publicly because I think it's important that people understand it. And I'm like, well, yeah, you're more people, I guess, like you better than me. And so like, talk about it, please. So he actually went on Joe Rogan. He went on Rogan a couple weeks ago and he goes, you know, he was talking to him and he said, Joe, look, like, do you know about the MAPE program? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, well, but Joe's response was, yeah, but what was wrong with her? Like, why did she need it? Because we don't want someone to suffer. And I agree with Joe. What was wrong where we needed to euthanize them? But where my line is our society cannot be trusted with this because it's euthanizing everybody.
Yeah.
This is not just grandma anymore. And it was funny because Malice pushed back and he goes, right, Joe, because do you remember when we started allowing people to wearing dresses and now we had to affirm their gender? Do you see where that goes?
Right.
Do you see where this goes?
Why can people not see the patterns and stop them before? It's like we're going to sit here. They're going to implement MAID. It's going to get really bad. And then people are going to realize and fight back. Why not fight back right now before it gets there?
And then I'm going to seem like a lunatic for saying, I told you so. And you didn't listen to the loud lady.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? I have empathy and I agree with what Joe was saying. Nobody should suffer on the end of their life, but we should be giving palliative care and hospice. And just for record, it's not, as Joe said, but we put dogs down. It's not the same. Actually, as putting dogs down, this was the clip here. It was not the same. We don't use pentobarbital. We do not use drugs that stop the heart right away. We use a cocktail that's never been studied, never been researched, all created by a doctor who was apparently used to deliver babies, but now had the audacity to create a protocol, sell it to Health Canada, and we can't see the IP.
Right.
So it's like, this is not, that's my pushback. It's like, Joe, but I hear you, but we don't euthanize the same way we kill dogs. And it's still killing. But like, again, there's a time and a place for an animal. I've had to put dogs down. It's the worst thing in the world, but it is not the same drugs. It's not the same protocol.
It's just not the same situation, even in the slightest. I forgot to bring this up. I should have brought it up earlier. But the other thing is that like 95% of the people killed in Canada are white.
96 and 96. America's 95.
So I think that's an aspect that maybe needs to be talked about, too.
I mean, listen, apparently I can't talk about it because I'm white. So, but let's talk about it really briefly. Right now, 96% of the individuals of the 100,000 that have utilized the medical murder program in Canada are white. In America, 95% are. Do we think that's a coincidence that India is now partnered and China is now partnered with Canada and they're looking at bringing in millions and millions and millions and millions of more? Because what we do know about those populations is they don't put people in nursing homes. Yeah. They don't kill grandma. Okay.
Right.
They actually let grandma die. And we brought my other half here last time. And I said to him, please never put me in a nursing home. And he looked at me and he said, honey, I'm black and American. We don't do that.
Right.
We don't do that.
Right. But white people have been convinced.
White people have been convinced nursing homes is where they should go. And then that's where they slip in and convince them that it's easier to die.
It's so gross. Yeah. I mean, it's not like 95% of the people in Canada are white.
No.
It's massively an over-representation. Finally, an over-representation of white people that the powers are fine with. They're fine. There's no diversity in MAID. Maybe that could be a good move. Diversity in MAID. Get people to sign petitions to say we need to be killing more black and brown people.
Oh, my God.
That's what MAID is, right? And if it's good for us, isn't it good for everybody? If not, maybe we need to rethink some things.
Harrison said it.
Hey, it's, I'm making a point here. I think it's a good point. If it's such a good thing for white people, wouldn't it be good for everybody else? No, it's evil for everybody. And it has to stop for everybody. Kelsey Sheeran, thank you.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein for cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultramathylene.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bentley to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information is hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.